Intervju Radija Študent.
Spoštovano poslušalstvo Radija Študent, kot rečeno, se nahajamo v RŠ intervjuju in z vami sem Brks, z mano v studiju pa je že Stian Westerhus, ki danes zvečer nastopa v kinu Šiška. Hello, Steven.
Thank you.
Naj še povem, da bomo naredili intervju v angleščini, kar je seveda iz Norveške. Ne? How was your trip? How you feel?
Yeah, good, good. It was a long trip. I just came from Dresden with a train. Mm-hmm. Beautiful train ride down here. It took about 13 hours.
Okay.
But I did that yesterday, so it was a day off just traveling.
But you were sleeping. It's okay. You don't drive.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. It's just, it was nice. So, yeah, back in Ljubljana. It's beautiful, of course.
Okay. Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some rainy days, but I hope you scare away the rain.
I'll try.
So,
yeah.
For the beginning, I must say I read that in this moment there is no other such other guitarist or artist similar to you and your playing, and also no such album exists like yours, the one that you did like released 1 month ago in August this year. It's your third solo album. So my question would be, how do you approach your solo act? How do you evolve it through all these records? How does it change? How do you?
Well, it's an interesting question, because when I go into the studio, I don't have any plans as to what I'm going to do, and I'm totally alone. I don't have a producer or a technician with me. I do everything myself, and then I just start to play and improvise and trying to get rid of all the things that I always play when I play, and just to seek out a new voice for myself, a new expression, or just see where I can go. And on this last album, The Matriarch and The Wrong Kind of Flowers, I went into a big mausoleum in Oslo, mm-hmm. which has 20 seconds reverb. Huge place, completely dark, and only 5 degrees Celsius inside. So it was like a very concentrated space, and of course, you know, standing inside somebody's grave playing is mm-hmm. quite strange, but also very nice. And and so this last album became somewhat a challenge with that room of playing with a bow on the guitar, with this room and with no amplification, and all the amplification is done afterwards in my own studio in Oslo. Mm-hmm. So it's like a long process of just trying to find something I don't know what is, sort of thing. You're just searching in the dark for something that is unexplainable. But when it pops up, I just instinctively know that it's there and just have to grab it. So that's how I approach the studio side of things.
So you let the rooms and the environment inspire and so
yeah, on. Just, you know, force myself to play differently and sort of really dig into what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. So I make these albums more for myself than anybody else's.
Okay. But now I guess it's for everybody. Yeah. Everybody else says it's okay. But how did the music change from these three albums, for example? Did it go anywhere? Do you have the feeling it goes some path of its own or in a way? Or
do it definitely has a path of its own, definitely. And on the first album, Galore, which is only released on LP, and very few copies. That was sort of the first trying this method of going into the studio, and it's quite brutal, it's quite raw. On the second one, I sort of knew more what I was doing, but I was still challenging the more sort of electronic side of things and working in the studio, figuring out how I could create my music in the studio. So I learned a lot about doing weird stuff in the studio, making it sound the way I want. And then this last one was more was even more about the music, I feel, than the two previous ones. My shoulders were a bit lower, and I had a more the music presented itself much clearer to me than it had done before. So it was a lot quicker to make and everything. So
nice. I'm gonna just invite people to call for tickets.
Yep.
Tako da zdaj v tem trenutku bomo odprli telefone in vsi, kdor bo poklical do konca tega intervjuja, bomo podarili za eno osebo dve karte za današnji koncert v Kino Šiški. Tako da, tako, številka je 012-422-88-00 in 012-422-88-01. Tako da tisti, ki bo poklical v naslednjih 10, maksimalno 15 minutah do konca intervjuja, dobi dve karti za današnji koncert. So, we make the commercial, now we continue. Let's go back to your roots. You were at home, your father and mother listened to Beatles and Elvis, and then you started to go into Jimi Hendrix and so on. And then you studied at Jazz Academy in Britain and Norway.
Yeah.
And I would like to talk about how did you see the institution and Jazz Academy and in that time, and maybe how do you see it now? Did the opinion change? And the question is because... you mentioned yourself that you like to step in the dark, you like to experiment, you like to open new, cross the borders and so on. So how do you get this? What's your position?
You know, I think in a way doing jazz education was hell for me because I didn't know what jazz was when I started. I thought jazz was free improvisation.
Yeah.
So I was a bit stupid, but but it was also very good in the way that it opens up your ears. You learn a lot of theory and harmony, and you learn to think about music in a different way. So all the sort of jazz tools are just tools. Mm-hmm. And when I finished the degree in England and had a few years just playing, and then started in Trondheim. The Trondheim Academy was much freer, so I could do whatever I wanted, and that was really important for me. So just to have enough space to create your own voice kind of thing, you know. But I don't regret doing
you
a lot of it.
You played jazz in that time and this genre music?
Not in Trondheim, no. Uh-huh. I tried to do it when I was living in Britain.
Okay.
It didn't work. not very well anyway, but I learned a lot. Definitely, and so I don't regret it. But I was fortunate to be in a position later on where I could throw that away, you know, and just say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. But all this info and all this knowledge just keeps, you know, it stays in you. And so just utilize it for something else. Like anything, when you learn something, you just need to. Say okay, that's a known fact, and then kick it out of the table afterwards. I think.
Is there some people from that period that you stay in contact, in touch, like experimenting, going out of the frames and so on? Did any of these people that you were there with?
I'm sure somebody does. I don't know. I don't.
I mean,
have
if you cooperate, if you stay in touch, like.
I don't really have any contact with the people I studied with in London, at least. People in Trondheim, they're everywhere. I mean, Norway's tiny, so...
Well, Slovenia is tiniest. Norway is tiny. General situation in Norway, with free improvised music and experimental music, and how is maybe your cooperation with the Root Gramophone, and how is with labeling, how is an artist surviving in Scandinavian
area
with this music?
Well, I think with any music, really, it's really hard. But it's really nice to work with Rune Gramophone, the label, because he gives me just free hands. Mm-hmm. And of course, he can say, "Oh, I don't want to release the album," but he luckily hasn't yet. So, but he's great. He, you know, he's very serious about what he does. But the thing about the scene, music scene in general in Norway, is that it's very, very open. So, mm-hmm. you know, all the people who play all the different genres. You go to each other's gigs, and it's like a, it's not like you're all segregated. So. It's all connected, mm-hmm. and I think that opens up for a lot of different music, so you can do experimental stuff, and mm-hmm. and people will still be interested, you know.
Okay. So people go to the concert. There is much places to play.
Yeah, there's quite a few clubs, and especially in Oslo. There's not that many big cities. There's mm-hmm. Trondheim, Oslo, Bergen, mm-hmm. Stavanger, maybe, you know.
Bigger scenes.
Yeah, bigger okay. cities. So.
And I slipped. Yeah, financial plans. Does the Ministry of Culture or this kind of stuff, does it support this non-conventional music? Or because here we have a situation that we lack of all the funding all around Europe, and it's quite a shitty situation.
No, it's they support some things. I mean, they support because Norway is so ridiculously expensive. I mean, mm-hmm. a beer in Norway is 10 euros.
Oh, shit.
So, and Oslo is one of the most expensive cities mm-hmm. in the world. So they try to give some artists money so they can tour and stuff like that for travel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the general situation is like everywhere else. It's tough. Okay. It's hard.
Yeah. Struggle to survive.
Yeah, definitely.
I would like to maybe go to the social aspect of improvised music, maybe to ask you what would your music stand for in a social context, or how do you see the improvisation on experimental music in this social context, this urge to go out of the frame, what does it mean for the artist, or then again, more important, maybe what does it mean, what do we want to do with this towards the audience, you know, what do we want to say to them with this experimental music and so on.
Well, in my music, I find that I always try to seek an expression that I am surprised by myself. Mm-hmm. And so, because then I will react to this surprise and keep making more music around it. And I think that as long as the audience feels that there is something there that they can be surprised by or connect to, no matter what it is, as a social context between the audience and the performer, I think that's the most important for me, to just leave it as open as possible so people can actually react to it themselves, instead of saying, "Oh, this is going to be really spooky sound," or mm-hmm. or something like this. And I really love it when people come up to me after shows and they said, "Ah, oh, I was walking in the desert for fucking half an hour." It's like, woo!
The best.
Okay, great. And then the same concert, somebody will say, you know, they saw something completely different. And for me, that's great. I don't wanna impose on somebody what they should think, and if they want to think that it's political or anything. I just seek a sort of clear, pure expression for myself to latch onto, because in that way I can keep on playing, and I don't plan what I'm about to play tonight or tomorrow. Or
it's actually the honest way to give yourself to the audience in a way.
That's the whole idea, and I think the audience also latch onto that honesty sometimes because. Let's face it, the world isn't that honest.
Not really. You said it's never the same, so let's see. I'm not gonna ask you what you're gonna do tonight, but
well, I wouldn't be
in
able
a way
to
you work on this to play this last record, or you just do free sets?
No,
and
I just do
surprise
free sets.
Yourself.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
How is with other project? The last time we saw you with Nils Peter Molver, and is there any other at the moment going on?
Yeah, we just released a new album with there's a duo with me and a very, very good singer from Norway called Sissel Endresen. It's also like free improv.
Good reviews for this record.
Really good reviews, and that's actually a live record as well. So we're going to tour a bit with that coming up next year. We're touring a bit with Nils Petter, of course, in between all of this, and then I have another duo called Monolithic, which we're also releasing a new album. So there's loads of stuff happening.
Yeah, sorry, you're not sitting down and watching the air move. Okay, I will thank you for our visit in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
I wish you a very good gig, and naj še zdaj v tem trenutku pač vse povabimo na ta današnji koncert. Karte smo potalali, hvala tistemu za klic ali tisti, ne. In Marko Karlovčec, solo, mešalna miza, no input mix, saksofon in kitara, predskupina oziroma predakt bomo rekli, in potem Stian Westerhus, danes v kinu Šiška. Stian, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, man.
Bye, bye.
See ya.
Intervju Radija Študent.